Are you scheduling regular, engaging meetings for your team? Are you having a hard time developing these meetings for your team? Or do you find that these meetings maybe aren't too beneficial for your company's growth and success? Well, we'll be delving into these topics and much more right now here on the Pest Posse Perspective.
Welcome aboard the Pest Posse Perspective, your ultimate companion for unleashing the full potential of your small to medium-sized business. Presented by the Pest Posse in collaboration with RV There Yet Pest Consultant, this series is tailor-made to catapult your business to new heights. Whether launching your venture or aiming for exponential growth, buckle up for thrilling discussions and exclusive insights that will navigate you towards unparalleled success in the pest control industry.
Well, hello everybody to Pest Posse Perspective. It's going to take me a while to learn to say that. I'm Cully Christensen, visionary and creator here at the Pest Posse. We are joined by Pete Chopin. You're a busy man. You've been moving.
We have been moving. I didn't know we were talking about that stuff. I thought we were talking about the different recipes. I thought we did camping recipes. That's not what we're talking about.
Camping recipes.
Wasn't camping recipes. I thought for sure that's what we were talking about today.
Wow. I love it. This is like, that's the kind of stuff I would pull with Foster.
Well, I have to be the Sully. You have to be the Foster, and I got to be the Sully now.
Yeah, the Cully, yes.
The Cuck Sully. I'm sorry. You know what? Okay, I have a funny story about that, Cully. I was, this morning, I was getting ready, and I was writing down, I got to meet with Pest Posse today, and I got to meet with Foster and Sully. And I wrote down, I go, wait, Sully, what did I go, that's the guy that flew the airplane, right? And as soon as it got in my head, Cully, as soon as it got in my head, I knew there was no way that I was going to avoid calling you Sully today. And I think there was no way. So I apologize. But
it's all right. I've been called much, much worse.
I knew that was going to happen.
I love it when they call me Curly. They literally have my name. It's written like I'm getting coffee, right? And they're, yeah. Okay, what's your name? So I spell my name, and then they're, okay, Curly, your coffee's ready. Where did you get the R's?
I just want to prove that I knew I was going to do this today. I wrote it on my notepad at the very top. Because I said, I spelled this guy's name today. Well, I'm so sorry.
That's all right. Everybody just got to hear us go off. So that's funny. I hope everybody else got a good laugh like we did. So let's talk about this. You're wanting to have meetings. I think what happens is people make it too big in their brain, you know, and then they, I won't say panic, but they want to make sure, maybe they want to make sure it's perfect. And then they procrastinate. I mean, I know that's kind of how my brain can work sometimes. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, there's companies that I, there's companies that I consult now. Now it's semi-retired, and one of the biggest topics we have is setting up meetings, because they go, Pete, I've never even thought about setting up meetings. We just kind of throw them all together. You know, we get together with no rhyme or reason. What ends up happening is you start to lose the attention span of your employees, right? You've got to start from A to Z and have a dedicated topic from A to Z on everything. For example, when we have meetings at Chopin Pest Solutions, when I own my company, we would start every meeting with Pete's praises. That was every single meeting started Pete's praises. And what I would do is I would go around to talk about anybody that got a license, anybody's birthdays, anybody's anniversaries, you know, maybe somebody had a kid, a child born to them or something like that. Maybe somebody just did something really awesome in the office, right? So we would do Pete's praises, and that would take like 5, 10, 15 minutes. I'd hand out birthday cakes and stuff like that. And but that was where we started every meeting. So it got your motor kind of running, right, in the right direction, rather than standing up in the meeting and saying, you know what, guys, we really had a bad month, and I want to talk to you guys about it. You started instead with something positive, and then you go from there, and you have to have topics, and we can talk more about that here in a second.
Yeah, I think that's really good. I love that. You know, I used to sit in meetings that were like the other type, you know, where it was just like it wasn't a meeting. It wasn't training. It was a gripe session every week. And I'm like, you guys, you're killing the culture, you know? And I think a lot of it is they're not doing exactly what you said, which is taking the time to sit back and creating an outline, you know? And the reality is, don't let that be daunting. That can take like less than 15 minutes. That doesn't have to be like a 2-hour affair to create this outline.
Well, it'll take 30 seconds. So let's do a mock one right now. Let's do a mock one. Okay. So a Roman numeral 1, Pete's praises. 7:30 a.m. Pete's praises. All right. 7:45, compliments and complaints. What compliments and complaints from 5-star reviews that we get from clients over the course of the month? Okay. Or during the week, whatever, which whenever you decide to have your meetings. And we'll talk about that in a second, too, because we had lots of meetings at Chopin, but they're productive meetings, right? Productive. Then at 7, so at 8 o'clock, then we would start off with something along the lines of maybe label reading, entomology, what bug is coming up next month. So if it's June, we know yellow jackets are coming up in July. So let's talk about yellow jackets during our June meeting, right? Then we talk about something along the lines of leadership. We do some leadership training saying, okay, even if it's technicians who maybe have no interest in being a leader someday, they still are training other people. They're still mentoring other people. So we taught leadership to everybody. That was another subcategory. We have pest pack training. Every single meeting that we had, we would, one of our categories would be pest pack training. So all of these things can lead up to a 2-3-4-hour meeting if you do it right. That's what we tried to do. And like I said, we had different meetings, and we can talk about that here in a second, but not every meeting has to be 3 hours or 4 hours long. Some can be as short as 20 minutes, right?
I wanted to touch on the leadership. We were doing our live yesterday, and that topic came up, and I told her, you know, leadership can be boiled down to one word: influence. That's what a leader does. Now, there's many ways you can do that, but that's what a leader does. And we're always influencing, right? I mean, people influence people all the time, and it's either positive or negative. So I say that to say, yeah, it's important. That's like the heart of sales is influence, right? It's just another form of leadership. And to just spend a few minutes continuing to develop that topic with your team is a powerful thing.
We don't want to go off into the weeds and talk about influencing here, but one thing you can do with influencing is let your people be a part of the meetings. That's a huge way. I give speeches across the country, and one of my favorite ones is listening to your employees, right? And that's influencing them. It's kind of like you're doing it gently, softly, but you say, I would say, hey, so Cully, what do you think about that, right? So in getting your people engaged, so say, Frank, you know, I had this idea. I want to try this out. What do you think about that? So during your meetings, it shouldn't be just one person up there preaching to everybody. It should be also say, hey, Maria, what do you think about that? Yeah, raising prices on our roading stations. What do you think? Should we do that this month? And that will influence your employees to get more engaged.
Right. No, and I think that's, gosh, there's so many ways you can use that to your advantage in a meeting. And having them, yeah, that's one of the things, just like we were talking about. I'd go through these gripe sessions. All that was a person up there going through a list of topics about what people aren't doing right, and nobody had an opportunity to say anything. You know, of course, if you got a group like we had, 30 to 40 people, there were a few people like me who would open their mouths no matter what.
Yeah, right.
You know, and voice their opinion, but you still had a group of people that walked out just like, this is a job. I don't care. They obviously don't care. They don't want me to, you know, it just doesn't give good culture. But by changing that around and getting that interaction, people feel important. And that's a huge mindset change when they start feeling important.
So that's a big difference between a bad meeting and a good meeting, right? So yeah. A good meeting is what are you trying to get across? What are you trying to influence? We know, what are you trying to do? and then making sure that your people get something out of it. I think we talked about this last month. The average human, the average male, our attention span is about 8 seconds. That's the average male. Okay. So right now, Cole, you're already tuning me out because it's past 8 seconds. Right. So, but the average males, so we have got to keep our people involved. So a good meeting is having lively topics, important topics, yeah, and having your people engaged in the meeting. A bad meeting is do it because I said to do it. You know, right, this is how we're doing it. This is our SOP. This is our protocol. And damn it, just do it because I said to do it. You know, that's a bad meeting. Yeah. No one wants to be a part of that.
No, absolutely. And I think this outline can really help people, you know, develop those meetings. And the other thing is don't expect to be perfect right from the get-go. You know, it's what's important is to get going. That's the important thing, is get going, do it. Take 5 minutes, make your first outline, talk, you know, put down some topics you want to do. Like Pete said, you know, start off with something positive. Pete's praises, Posse praises, whatever your company's name, you know, think of something. Focus on things you can praise, and then, you know, move on to your meat. I think entomology is good. I think label.
Well, label reading is, it's a must. That's a must. You have to, you've got to read at least one label every meeting. Because then at the end of a year, let's say, if you're having monthly meetings, let's say, then you're having 12 label readings by the end of the year. Okay. And it's so important. I'm going to say something, and, you know, I hate to say this, but I had a technician one time. I think we might even have talked about this a little bit last time, the importance of training. But in one of our meetings, I was explaining how I wanted carpenter ants serviced. And I explained that, okay, this is how much Terminator we're using in a 3-gallon sprayer. Okay. And then one of my technicians pulled me to the side at the end of the meeting. He said, Pete, he goes, that is not what I've been doing. You know, and I won't say what he did, but he wasn't doing it right. So these meetings are so important. Label reading, entomology. One of my favorite meetings that I would do, Cully, was I would, every Thursday, I would meet with all of my salespeople in the morning, like usually 11 o'clock before lunch. I meet with all my salespeople, and we would go over one insect, just one a week. Okay. But at the end of the year, that's 52 insects or mice or rats or whatever, but one pest a week, 20-minute meeting. They'd ask questions. I'd give them some answers, and I'd go get them, team. Okay. Well, then I'd eat lunch, and at 1 o'clock, then I'd meet with the office staff, and that included the billing department. It included the CSRs, included the general manager, and we would get together and do the same meeting about that one pest. Okay. 20 minutes. It wasn't a big, giant chunk of my day, but that 20 minutes was gigantic, and it's so rewarding when you hear one of your salespeople say, oh, we just talked about that in one of our meetings earlier today, right? It's very rewarding, and those are important, very important meetings.
I agree 100%. You're doing so many things when you do that. You know, you're setting your company's culture. You're also you're saving yourself on callbacks, because now your employees know what materials to use, how to use them. They know more about the pest and where to put the products and how to apply them correctly for that individual pest.
You avoid callbacks too.
Yes, exactly. You avoid callbacks. And guess what? Now you as an owner or a manager are spending less time fixing problems. And so you actually have more time to continue to be proactive.
What's the number one? And what's the number one biggest waste of time, do you think, in a company? In your opinion, what do you think?
Oh, it's been a number of years since I was working for a larger company.
Well, what's a big, you know, mine drag, is, a big drag on a company?
Oh, well, the callbacks are a huge drag. The other one is turnover.
Yeah, well, turnover is huge too. And people feel frustrated if they don't know their job and they'll quit. For me, one of my biggest drags, the thing that was slow our company down, was the multitude of phone calls you get with, and I hate to say it this way, but it is, with stupid questions, right? Hey, you guys did a carpenter ant treatment for me. Should I be seeing dead ants in the kitchen? Right? You know, you get those type of phone calls, and our girls, instead of doing their jobs, the office staff now is answering these type of phone calls. So once again, if we are educating our technicians through meetings, educating our office staff through meetings, then we avoid a lot of those phone calls. And that was always a huge one for me. I love the fact that you said turnover, because I think that's important too, Cully, is if someone's just disengaged from their company, they have no reason to get up in the morning to come to work.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it literally costs you thousands of dollars to replace an employee. Thousands, you know? And my like minor estimate for employee was like $15,000 to replace an employee. Oof. You know, by the time you put in your ads, you take the time out to hire, you put them in the truck with somebody else, you spend several days just training maybe in the office on, you know, just basic paperwork issue stuff they have to go through, you know, all these things. Typically also is the persons who's doing the training, their route production goes down because they can't do as much work. If they're talking about what they're doing and why they're doing it, you should not be expecting them to do as much work. So all of that is part of your cost of retraining somebody, and you can eliminate so much of that by taking this time to do these meetings.
Yep. And then I get a pushback sometimes. I'm just going to write myself a note here. Colleagues is good stuff. I get a pushback from some companies that I'm mentoring, and larger companies in particular. They go, well, we are not having meetings like you did because it's a waste of time and money when my guys could be, well, they say when my guys could be earning money, you're not going to make them sit in an office. And I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about. And this is a real life example. So there's a company I'm working with. Awesome company, about a $3 million company. They're just fantastic group of people, but they were really negligent on having meetings. They didn't think they were necessary. Well, this past year, they lost out on a $90,000 fumigation job because they didn't have protocols in place. They weren't having meetings on how to do their fumigations. And their guy showed up with, they didn't have enough tarps and not enough tents. And so, and the people that had hired him to do it had a very small window. It was a hotel, very small window. And they canceled. And now we're going to hire somebody else. You don't forget it. So it's $90,000, right? Now this company does a great job now. Trust me, they do a great job now of hosting meetings. They're some of my favorite people to talk to because they understand the importance of meetings now. Because so when someone says, oh my gosh, I'm going to have my guys 4-hour meeting in the mornings, well, they can make money in the afternoon.
Well, and the other thing is you can split that up.
Yeah.
You know, you can do 4 1-hour meetings.
Sure.
You know, in a month. I mean, you don't have to do it all in one day. I mean, I don't care how you do it, you know, do them twice a month. I mean, whatever, right? I personally like doing them more often because I think it's nice to get in front of your guys that often and be there. But sometimes, you know, if your team is all remote and you're in more of a rural area, that can be really hard to bring them in more than once a month. That's reality. You know, I've always been in suburbia, you know, and most of our stuff is within 5 to 10 miles of the office at the most, you know. And so to have them in weekly is not a problem. Of course, I'm a bit of an old timer. We didn't have remote. There wasn't that real capability back in the day, you know. But yeah, this can be very simple if you just take the time. The benefits are huge. Yeah, I mean, I think that the outline you suggest is super easy. Let's go over that one more time for people.
You bet. So one thing I want to add to this, and then we'll do the outline again. I think the frequency, like you said, of the meetings is really important. And I think you're right. I think if you're in New Mexico and you have guys that are working 2 hours away, it's tough to get everybody together, right? And we understand that. But now you can do Zoom meetings. You can. Now, clearly, that's how we're communicating right now is through a recording. And so you can definitely do things like this. So in a perfect world for me, okay, these are the meetings I would have. I'd have daily meetings with my technicians, even if it's just for 5 minutes just touching, whether they're coming in the morning, coming in the afternoons, just say, hey, how was your day? Or how's your day looking today? Or is there anything I can do to make your day go smoother today? But just having that daily touch with your technicians, I think, is gigantic. So in a perfect world, that's the first thing I would have. Okay. And as a leader, if you have office staff, you should be walking around the room, you know, just 30 seconds. Hey, Sherry, how's the lake house going? You know, you guys fully moved in yet or not? Just talk to your people. It's not an official meeting, but it means the world to your staff. The second thing I would do is I would have weekly leadership meetings. Okay. The leadership meetings would be with your management team, whether that's supervisors, managers, general managers, office managers, supervisors. Oh, I think I said that one. When you got lead technicians, anybody like that, I would have weekly leadership meeting where you bring them into a room and you guys talk about what's happening in your company. If you want to use the book Traction is a great example of why you would have these weekly meetings with your leadership teams, where you could talk about your different small rocks, medium rocks, big rocks, the things you want to be working on in your company. These meetings are super important. I would have weekly meetings with your sales team and with your office staff, teaching them entomology. That I think does short meetings. I would have end of the month meetings where you bring your entire company together. So everybody's talking about protocols. Everybody's talking about your standard operating procedures. Everybody's getting that further education on, okay, this is how we're going to do a wasp job going into 2024. This is how we're going to do a mosquito treatment. We used to do field trips to my church. So we would take the entire company to my church and we'd show them how I wanted to do a mosquito treatment, right? So you can have fun meetings like that, right? So those are all different types of meetings in a perfect world that I would suggest people have. Now, as far as what goes into that end of the month meeting, once again, I would have praises at the top, some type of Pete's praises or, you know, Hannah's hallelujahs. I don't care what you want to call it, but because some type of praise for your staff. So you recognize your people for their work anniversaries, birthdays, children being born, licenses, stuff like that. After that, I would definitely go to 5-star reviews, whether your office staff or whether your technicians got 5-star reviews, I would give them praise for that. Have them stand up, everybody applaud for them and stuff like that. I think it's really cool. From there, you could do legislation. What's coming down the pike in our industry? What are some things, new products that are out there? What are some training tools that people could use outside of the office, like Pest Posse, right? Or the MPMA field guide. What are some places where people can go to find information? I remind them about all that. Then we would have, once we'd have our KPIs, were very important in our meetings. We go over the technician stats, the office team stats, and we would do that during our meetings. Once again, giving lots of people praise. From there, we would do label reading. We would do entomology, you know, pick one label, one pest. You know, you don't have to go crazy and spend hours on it. Do some leadership training. We do some pest pack training or field routes training or guerrilla desk training, whatever you're using. I'd have some training because your people forget. They really do forget things. And if you bring it up in these meetings, it helps refresh them and keeps them keeps their brains going. And then one other thing we would do is if we had some time left over, and I always put it at the bottom of my outline, we would have kind of a group hug type thing where we'd go around and do a group game, whether it's trivia, whether we would do games to kind of get to know you type games, things like that. We would do those things at the end of our meetings. And then we'd always have lunch. I'd always find lunch for everybody. Start with something fun and end with something fun. We used to hand out crossword puzzles. My wife would go online and make pest crossword puzzles. And people would and it seems kind of silly. Oh, that's a waste of time. But people enjoyed it. And guess what? You accidentally learned pest control that way.
Right. Yeah. No, I like that because, you know, normally you might not like doing a crossword puzzle, but if it's on a topic and it's your job, it adds to that. There's a level of interest that you're just going to have naturally because of that, you know. And then it turns into a little bit of competition, which is always tends to be fun, you know. I think those are all fabulous, fabulous things. All right, well, that really is it. We don't want to be going too long on these, but we really want to encourage you folks to just sit down, make the outlines. Jeez, Pete just gave it to you. And, you know, get going. You know, again, it doesn't have to be perfect to start. In fact, if it's perfect to start, you waited too long.
True.
That's just the reality. You know, you get better as you go. It's just like going out and running a route, right? We got good at it as we went because we learned more. We got to improve. We got better skills. And repetition is the only way that we really learn.
Absolutely. So,
any closing thoughts, Pete?
I just say we get your people involved. You know, it doesn't have to be Cully making the meeting every time. You could turn to your general manager and say, hey, listen, Wendy, how about you take the reins this month? Why don't you put together a meeting and let me see how you do? Get your people involved.
Yeah. Right. I think that's great, great advice. And the only other thing I'd say is if you're small, I know it's all, I feel like it's even tougher when you're small.
It is.
But it's just so important. You can literally close your business with one lawsuit and training can keep that from happening. So make it happen. It's worth it. And again, that might be the great time to just do it monthly, right?
Yep.
Do it monthly. Maybe you don't go for 4 hours because you got a smaller team, but you know, make it happen and you'll very quickly start enjoying the benefits.
Thanks for listening to this production of the Pest Posse. Want to sharpen your pest control skills and knowledge? Then you don't want to miss out on PestPosseTV.com. Head over there for a treasure trove of video-based continuous training, weekly episodes, and so much more that will help you learn, grow, and succeed in this great pest control industry. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, Pest Posse TV is your go-to resource for pest control-related training and information. It's like having a mentor and trainer right at your fingertips 24/7. Be sure to follow the Pest Posse on social media to catch the latest updates and exclusive sneak peeks into what's coming up next. Be sure to tell your friends, colleagues, your neighbor, heck, tell everyone you meet about the Pest Posse and the awesome content we provide. Until next time, remember, pest control is an adventure. So go out there and enjoy the adventure with Pest Posse TV.